I'm happy. I'm so happy being a pastor. This church has not given me any regrets. I'm so happy being the pastor of this church. Amen. So today I want to just encourage you along those lines. This is the reason why my birthday is the 4th of July. It's the day I got saved. July 4th, 6 p.m. in the evening. I went to drop a friend off in a church on a Friday. Dropped him off for the Friday service where we used to rock together, we used to party together. You know, like they say in America, where the party at? You know. So I wasn't much of a partying guy, but I just, you know, I just went out with guys. You know, like, you know, the normal stuff non-Christians do. Okay, I'm not saying it's wrong for you to go to parties if you are the one influencing the party. But I was being influenced. So I was just, you know, partying. And you know, have this group of friends, go out partying, you drink, you know. I didn't do drugs, by the way. But, not that I didn't cross my mind, but it just didn't, just I wasn't that way inclined. Maybe I was afraid of my mother. She would just die. But there are a lot of things I refused to do because of my mother. Never smoked because of my mother. Never committed any crime because of my mother. A lot of things I didn't do. However, but the partying was, it was serious rocking, you know. Praise God. Like, you all know what I'm talking about now, you know. So, but on this particular day, this gentleman invited me to church. No, he didn't invite me to church. I mean, he used to be a Muslim. His name is Hakim. Hakim Bello. So he said he was going to my side of town because we were living on a different side of town. So I said, well, yeah, I'll give you a ride. I was driving. So I gave him a ride, dropped him off in church, and then he didn't tell me it was a church. And then I realized that, oh, they were singing and dancing. And, you know. I said, where are you going to? Where is this? You know, it's a church. It's a church, Hakim. He just smiled. You know, he didn't have the boldness to witness to me. Maybe he was new himself. He didn't have the confidence to witness to me because of the rubbish things we've done together, you know. Just get party and then get drunk, you know. And then he drive wife, get drunk and drive drunk, and then, you know. He couldn't tell me. I remember dropping him off, and it was, I said, Hakim, you, church. I was laughing my head off, laughing at Hakim. So I dropped him off. But as he came out of the car and he, you know, went to the gates of the church, so I think those people were maybe like were angels, I don't know. But to me they were I don't know whether they were ushers, I wasn't sure. But these two beautiful girls came out of the church and they saw Hakim and they were so happy. Now the joy on those ladies' faces, I mean, okay, my friend is good looking, but he's not as good looking as I am, but they came in and they just hugged him and they grabbed him. Oh, it was like so nice to see you. They kissed him on the cheek. I said, all of a sudden, his smile wiped off. And I said, what? Man, I was telling myself, man, I'm so coming back here. That was on a Friday. Funny enough, on a Saturday, another friend of mine who was another, drunkhead, came to our home. You see, God was setting me up, you see. Came to our home with his cousin, with his 17-year-old cousin. All right? His family's name is so big, they named the whole town after his grandfather, you know? And I came around and I said, oh, meet my cousin. And I said, hi. I said, hello to the guy. The guy was like 17. The guy was a kid. But the guy was, he's in England now, actually. He's a corporate lawyer in the city. And he was so intelligent. And then everything he was talking about was church, you know? If you say, oh, say the sky is blue, say, oh yeah, blue represents this, oh, and Jesus this, and it was Jesus, 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 Jesus. My God. And I looked at my friend, and I said, where did you find this, your cousin? He said, ah, so no, so Jide, Jide's a nice guy, Jide, his name is Jide Bada. Oh, Jide. I said, you know. So but when he left, I kept thinking about Jide Bada. So I told myself, you know what? I'm gonna go to that church on Sunday. So I called one of my friends, another crackhead friend of mine. I said, come on Sunday, I said, you and I, we are going somewhere. We are going to one church. I said, are there girls there? I said, where? I said, I'm sure there are. I've seen two. I said, on Friday I saw two. I said, but I'm sure there'll be many where they came from. I said, the two I saw, they were so nice. I said, and what they did to my friend? I said, I'm sure they'll do the same to you and I. So the bloke hopped into the car and then we went to the church. It was a massive church. Why are you laughing now, Mr. Blossom? It was a massive church. So we got there, we all sat down. I was out of place. And if you are here today and you're not a Christian, don't be out of place. I was out of place 28 years ago. I was out of place. I sat down and, you know, they were singing these songs, you know, but then here we have screens. But then they didn't have screen, but all the people seemed to know the songs. And so we couldn't sing along. And then I look at my friend, we're out of place. We didn't know how to dance either. Because the dance with those, you know, then it was 1988, man. That was when Michael Jackson, you know, the songs, right? Yeah. The moonwalking, you know, the front sliding, the, you know, that. But we're not doing that in that church. So we couldn't really flow the way we wanted to flow. You know, I'll show them who was the boss, but we couldn't. But meanwhile, my friend would say, take that one out. I said, you know, that was that. In church. Man, I said, but don't worry, if you are here, my bro, today, and you are taking out my daughters, just come and see me. Then I will line them up, but just get born again. Say, so choose which one. This one is very nice. This one, you can't handle her. This one. Praise the Lord. You know, so, and then after the end, we say, but I kept looking at all of them. I kept looking at the guys as well. We were all very relaxed. We were all very calm. We were very gentlemanly. And I thought, you know, then I started feeling that something, there's something here. All these guys can't just come here because of the girls. I mean, all these guys come, you know, and it was a beautiful church, beautiful people, Christ Chapel. That's where I got saved. You know, so, and then, man, and then the pastor, man, check out the Jericho. It's my goodness. Reverend Tunde Joda then, I don't know if now, I've not been in touch with mystery then, let me check them out. That's what happened. And then what then happened was that, at the end of the day, I said, okay, you know what? Let me just find out what this is all about. On Monday, the 4th of July, I myself with my friends said, come, let's go to that church and find out. They gave an altar call. I didn't come out. Give an altar call. I said, well, I'm not going to come out. I'm not going to do anything here. And then, but they said, well, those of you who give your life today, who give your life to Christ today, come back on Monday for new believers classes. So I said, okay, no problem. So I told my friend, I said, come. Monday is new believers class. But let's just go find out again what they do there. That's how I went to there, went to the church there, sat down. At the end of the service, the end of the small groups, they called people forward and said, if you want to believe, if you want to receive Christ, if you want to speak in tongues and receive the Holy Spirit, can you please just stay back? And I stayed back. My friend was still laughing. And then I called the minister to them, and we were all speaking in tongues. And I called the minister. When it came to my turn, I said, actually, I didn't come out yesterday. He said, okay. I said, but I want this thing. He said, okay. Do you want to receive Christ as a personal Lord and Savior now? I said, yes. So he led me to Christ, and instantly I started speaking in tongues. My friend did not. So we got back into the car. This time we were still laughing and talking about all the girls. This time I was quiet. I did not say anything. God was already walking inside, walking in me. And then we got there, dropped him off, and that was how my life changed. July 4th, this same period, 28 years ago, got to know the Lord. And I never looked back since then. And so today I want to challenge you. Because the life we live now, brothers and sisters, requires that we really live our values. The life we live now requires that we really surrender to the choices that we have made. And that's one thing I want to leave with you as I close this decade, the decade of the 40s, as I close another chapter in my Christian walk with God. Listen, the body of Christ needs you and I to commit to it. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. My question to you today is this. Have your old things passed away? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. Have your old things passed away? You see, I realized 28 years ago that the old things in my life have passed away. And what did I do? Not even my natural birthday, I'm not saying you should do that, but not even my natural birthday do I celebrate. Why? Because genuinely, I look at my life today, and I look at my life 28 years ago when I met Christ, and I can confidently say that old things passed away. What about you? And I want us to think about that today. What were the things that you were doing before? You see, I knew the things I used to do before. I knew my life before, and I knew my life after. I knew the day I gave my life to Christ. I knew it was a conscious decision. I was not forced into it. Let me have my flannel. I was not forced into it. It was a conscious decision. I knew what I said. That's why I took time out to enumerate my life before. It sounded funny, but that was an old life. That was an old life. I knew the life that was not the life of Christ. And the day I gave my life to Christ, I knew what I was before, and I knew that all things have passed away, and everything has become new, and I chose. You see, I said I chose the new life. You see, in this faith, there is no room for hybrid. What is hybrid? Hybrid is trying to mix your new life with your old life. There is no room for hybrid. There is no room for lukewarmness. You are either in or you are out. The truth of the matter is, my brothers and my sisters, you are either a Christian or you are not. There is no way I could have been in church and then want the best of God and still continue to live the way I was living. Praise the Lord. So there has to be a very clear demarcation between your old life and your new life. And that demarcation is one of choice. That demarcation is one of choice. So I want to charge you this morning that you should choose Christ. You should choose to live the life you have professed. What does that mean? It means that you have chosen to accept Jesus Christ, then live it. You have chosen to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then live it. You have chosen to follow the way of the cross, then live it. Our world is the way it is today because the world look up to the church, because the Bible says that you are the light of the world. You are a city set upon a hill. But the world look at the church today, they cannot see the sharp demarcation, they cannot see that newness, they cannot see the sharp contrast between themselves and the church. And so they say that the world has gone churchy and the church has gone worldly. I want to charge you this morning. I want you to take your Christian life serious. I want you to be who you are in church and outside church. I want you to be the same person of Christ in church and outside church. What does that mean, really? I want you to make Christian decisions. 28 years, I didn't come into faith trying to test. I knew there was something about the people I saw. I knew they had something. Even the two ladies that came out to greet my friend, I knew the kind of happiness and joy I saw. I knew that just can't be normal. Just can't be normal. Are you listening to me this morning? And so I came searching. And then my first day in church, yes, I mucked around, I played around, but even at that, I knew that there was something about them, and they had something I didn't have. that compelled me to come back the following day on a Monday to find out. And I realized at the end that they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I actually asked for baptism of the Holy Spirit because I knew that was a crucial thing for them. I didn't even know what it was. And then I told the counselor, look, I like what they have. I like this thing. Can I have it, please? He said, yes, you can. And that yes, you can was for me a turning point in my life 28 years ago. That yes, you can. And I asked, so what do I need to do? He said, pray a simple prayer. And I said, what next? He said, do you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? I said, yes, please. And then he led me to Christ, baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and then with the evidence of speaking in tongues from that day. We were in the same car driving back home. I was practicing my new tongue, and my friend was laughing. Today, I'm a pastor. I don't know where he is. I don't even know whether he's still alive. Do you understand? But my journey to Christ was not one to test. And many of you have been in church or been around Christians for a very long time, or you know people who have been in church or been around Christians for a very long time, and you are still testing the waters. Though you carry the symbol or the emblem or the sign of Christianity, you are still testing the waters. What does that mean? You are not fully in. You are not all in. For Christ to work in your life fully and for you to experience the manifestation of the full package of the Holy Ghost, you've got to be all in. You've got to be all in. There is no hybrid in faith. There is no hybrid in faith. There is no hybrid. You can't be cold and warm at the same time. You can't be a Christian on Monday and be an unbeliever on Tuesday. No, you can't do that. You can't come to be a believer and raise your children in the way of the Lord. You can't pick and choose what suits you. That means that there is no surrender. There's a song we used to sing when people are giving their life to Christ in those days. Unto Him, blessed Savior, I surrender. Yes. That was not just a song. That was to tell you what you are getting yourself into. You are surrendering all. Are you listening? Now ask yourself, have you surrendered all? If you cannot say that confidently, it means you are living a hybrid life. The problem with a hybrid life is you are giving the devil permission to operate in your life. And the problem of that is that when the devil starts having his field day in your life, people will think that, wow, look at the one who is serving Jesus having this kind of not bad day. But they will know that you are the one that are not fully surrendered. There is no half-baked soldier. Church, are you listening to me? There is no half-baked soldier. You can't be a civilian and a soldier at the same time. You either enlist or you don't enlist. You can't say, I want to be conscripted, but I like the civilian lifestyle. That's not how it works. Do you want a uniform or not? And if you want the uniform, then there are disciplines that accompanies the disciplines and trainings that accompanies every soldier. You don't pick and choose when you go to battle. You don't pick and choose when you do your exercise, when you are in the barracks. You don't pick and choose whether you want to wake up in the morning or not. You don't pick and choose whether you want to clean your rifle or not. You don't pick and choose whether you want to show up for the drill or not. You don't have that choice as a soldier. The same thing as a Christian. You don't have that choice as a Christian. You only think you do. What did I say? You don't have that choice as a Christian. You only think you do. But that is the devil punishing you. In this faith, I have found out in 28 years of aggressively pursuing and chasing after the Lord with my whole heart, I have found out that there is no room for people in faith who are half-baked. And so I want you to be in. I want you to be in. I want you to be all in. What does that mean, Pastor, to be all in? I want your actions, your perspectives, your decisions to be ruled by what you believe in. And that is the scriptures. No cutting corners. No compromise. No shoddy lifestyle. Let your decisions be ruled by your conviction. That is a hallmark of a proper human. We all stand for something. I'm saying stand for something. Now, we are not forced to stand for something. But if you have chosen to stand for something, then leave it. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? Then leave it. Leave it. That is the beginning of fulfillment. Leave it. Leave it. Except someone who doesn't stand for, who stands for anything, can fall for nothing. Who stands for nothing can fall for anything. You are a Christian. Are you? Are you? You are a believer. Are you? How do we tell if you are? How can I tell if I am? The Bible says very clearly, very, very clearly. You see, I talk like this because we are people of faith. It says, by what? By their fruits you shall know them, not by their excitement. It is by their fruits you know them. By their fruits you know them. Not by their preaching. Not by their eloquence. Not by their degrees. Not by their education. By their fruits. Because out of your heart comes what? The living water. Amen? So by their fruits, you know them. I want you to be known by your fruits and not your confession. To be known by your fruits. In every area of your life. To be known by your fruits. Not this is what he said. This is what he did. Praise the Lord. Not this is what he said. This is what he did. Do it as unto the Lord. Do everything as unto God. That is what makes you a Christian. You do everything as unto God. You do everything like Jesus is. You know, I lived in Cyprus for almost about a year and a half or 2 years before my wife came to join me. Right? And I lived there for, yes, I got to Cyprus January 1994, right? I think Pastor Bola came the following year, January or February 1995. It was one whole year of living alone in a foreign country where half of the girls dress nude every summer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Half of the ladies in summer dress nude. And never once did I go the other way, because I have now found myself in Cyprus and my wife is not here. Joseph said something. When Potiphar's wife approached him, what did he say? I cannot do this thing against my God. So it's decision. I can't do it against my God. Amen? I can't. So as believers, we live like unto the Lord in every way. In every way and in every aspect of your life. You live as unto God. That is a choice. And I must tell you, it's a very hard choice. But that's why we come freely. So in your personal decisions, at home, at work, Christianity is not what you say, it's what you do. Christianity is not what you say. If it is what we say, then the whole world, we are all Christians. We are all Christians, and we all go to heaven. It's not what you say. It's not what you say. It is what you do. It is what you do with what you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everything about your life should be thus says the Lord. You must grow. You must grow as a believer. You must grow in this line of faith. You must grow as a Christian. You must do and charge yourself with the disciplines of Christianity. That is what it means. It is not a child's play, and that's why we don't baptize children. That's why we don't baptize children and speak water on them and say you are baptized. You don't have no clue what you're doing. We get water baptized knowing fully well that we go in dead, we come back alive. Praise the Lord. It's a thing of joy, 28 years, to serve the Lord. And when I say serve the Lord, I'm not talking about joining a church department. You can join a church department as a non-Christian. You can. Anybody can do. The church is an organization. Anybody with skills can join can be a worker. I said anybody with skills. This church is run with skills. Do you understand what I'm saying? We send an email out, you know, a web blast out every week that has your name on it, right? It is run by a system called AWeber. It took skills to know how to use that system. It's not owned by the church. AWeber company is a company. It's the same tool that Microsoft uses. And workers run it. We have Facebook posts and banners every week. It is skills. It's not anointing. Do you understand what I'm doing now? Eh? Okay, let me use myself as an example. This me preaching and talking to you and I'm not speaking bad grammar. It's skills. Because you can't preach without the Holy Ghost. That's why Paul said, look, I'm not speaking to you because I'm eloquent. So there are great speakers, orators, who are not saved. But what good is it? So, salvation is a practice. Don't allow church PLC or church charity to deceive you. Don't get carried away by the fancifulness of corporate church and dance your way to hell. Are you listening? It says that when you are in Christ, you are a new what? Creation. You live it. That has nothing to do with ushering, singing, communication, admin, organization. No. That is your spirit man. That is you. You that God will judge. You that the devil can harass. That's what we're talking about. So it is a practice. It is a conduct. And that's why Jesus Christ said, by that conduct, by that practice, they will produce a fruit. And by those fruit, we will know who are his. Do you understand, church? But in these 28 years of serving the Lord, I have not lacked any good thing. I don't have any regrets whatsoever. I have used this same Jesus to raise children. I have used this same Jesus to console my heart when I was down. I have used this Jesus. I have used this same word to live. And not just that. It is something that you can use and you can transfer to the next generation. So it means I am here to tell you that it works. There is no need to be a fraud. There's no need. Who is a fraud? A fraud is the one that knows what the word says and won't do it, but yet carries the label of a believer. That's a fraud. Don't be a fraud. A fraud is someone who wears the label without the produce. That's a fraud. Don't be a fraud. Do not be a fraud. But you see, as a body, the body is not here to judge anyone. That's why Jesus Christ says, come unto me all who are all, All comes. But all don't come and remain the way they are. All come to accept Jesus and change. All come, but they come so they can change. But what you found, say this to this, what you find in the body today, the body mimics the world. Because the world is all about accommodation. Yeah? So take me as I am. This is what I feel like doing now. This is what I enjoy doing now. So accept it. You know, accept me, accept my preferences, accept my taste, accept this. So again, we come into Christian faith and we want to bring that, we do the same spirit. So, well, you know what? This is what I am now. And so, but for how long? For how long? That's why we have trainings. That's why we have new believers Christ classes. That's why we call it new believers classes. So you can learn and change. But when you learn and you don't change, you become a fraud because you don't know what to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't know what to do, then it's okay. But if you have learned and you have been trained, right, and you know what to do, and you don't do, then you become a fraud. And that's why our world is upside down today. Because the light, what should be the light of the world, right, becomes a very dull light. What should be the light of the world becomes a compromising light. All of a sudden, the whole world is in darkness. Under your watch and my watch today. Do you understand what I'm saying? Once upon a time, in this nation, when they have cathedrals used to get, those big cathedrals you see, once upon a time, used to get packed. But very soon, people found out that those in the cathedrals and those who are not in the cathedral, they are all the same when they are after the cathedral. So they ask themselves, so what's the point? What's the point? Because people look for others to measure themselves by. And that's why I'm telling you today, the word of God is enough for you. Measure yourself by the word of God. Because salvation is personal. Salvation is personal. Salvation is personal. Now that you have chosen, I beg of you, leave it. Leave it. I know one funny thing. I know you can. I know you can leave it. If you cannot leave it, you won't choose it. If you can't leave it, you won't choose it. But you've chosen it, so I know you can. And more especially because I know now the grace of God is sufficient for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I thought I should encourage you with that little story, this little message today. And bless your heart as you take this to heart. Amen. The Lord bless you. Did you like that? Yes. I am your friend. All right. So I want to invite you to the celebration, the Thanksgiving celebration on the 16th. How many of you have registered for that? Thank you. Between 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock, I'm going to be taking photographs personally. I'll be standing there, take photographs with you, your family, your children, and we'll put them on the website somewhere so we can celebrate our Christian walk together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's do this next decade together properly. Yeah? Properly. It doesn't hurt to trust Jesus. And don't be afraid to trust Jesus. Amen? But whatever it is, let people around you see you stand for what. 2 years ago, it was in Woolwich here. Remember that, what's his name? Rigby. Rigby. Someone who believed in something else grabbed a whole man on the street. He wasn't insane. He was driven by his own conviction. And then grabbed the whole man on the street and put a knife to his throat. On the street. Conviction. Many years ago, I was traveling to Dublin to work. I saw a gentleman. He had a knife. And they said, and he asked the lady at the counter, can I take this knife along with me? They said, no, you cannot. He said, but I have to. He said, because this is the object of my worship. It has to be by my side all the time. He said, well, we have to check this knife in. He said, no, nobody's allowed to touch this knife. And I have to. And then he stood there arguing with the lady. And I thought they wouldn't put him on the plane. But just truly, I saw the guy on the plane. And he was saying, I said, this knife cannot leave my side because this is part of my worship. It cannot leave my side. I've got to travel here and I won't check it in. Ladies and gentlemen, they won't even let me take a golf bag. They won't let me even take a golf bag into the plane. A golf club. They won't even allow you, take a golf club into the plane. Lest in case you want to do damage to somebody with that thing. But this bloke carried a knife. And I flew with that thing. Conviction. We are not even saying go carry knives. We are saying the principles you have learned in the Bible, the things you know are true, leave it where you are with your family. End of story. It's not too much to decide. It's not too much. Knowing what Jesus says or what the Bible says about this kind of issue, and then you live by it. It's not too much. Praise the Lord. But I pray that God will grant you wisdom, grant you strength. God will empower you to make the right decisions in your personal lives. A decision that will bring the fruit of Christ. Something that will encourage somebody and say, well, wow, this person chose this. Wow, my goodness, I can live like this. That's all. That's all Jesus asked for. And that alone, you live like that, can win so many others to Christ. Rise to your feet as we pray this morning.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We bless your holy name. Once again, Father, we stand at the base of the cross today. Father, we ask, oh God, that your hand be upon us. We ask, oh God, that you revive us in the name of Jesus. We ask that you revive us in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know the areas of our weaknesses. We ask that you touch them in the name of Jesus. Lord, our heart is willing. Our heart is willing. We have made the right choice. We have chosen to follow you. Holy Spirit, we submit ourselves to you one more time today. Lord, that you empower and enable us in the name of Jesus. We ask for your help, our counselor. We ask for your impartation, our counselor. Strengthen us by your spirit in our inner man to do that which you have taught us and have revealed to us. We receive grace from on high. We receive unction from on high, Father, to walk in the path of the Master in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us choose that which is fruitful. Help us choose that which is befitting of a Christian life. Father, we thank you because once again, Father, we acknowledge that old things have passed away. Everything has become new in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all the glory. We adore you. We bless your holy name. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, once again, this month of praise, we ask, oh God, that your hand be upon us. As we look up to you, Father, as we sing your praise, Father, let there be testimonies. Let there be divine encounters in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we ask, oh God, that you separate us unto yourself, Lord, and you make us a sickle of harvest. You have called us the light of the world. You have called us a city that is set upon a hill. Father, let this become our testimonies in the mighty name of Jesus. Season our speech, Father. Give us the grace to choose according to what the word of God says. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the family say, and the family say, and the family say, amen. Please, you may be seated. You are blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for sharing this Sunday with me. Thank you for being part of my Christian growth and development. The Lord bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.